From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is a special edition of The Business. Today, a rare head-to-head discussion about the future of acting between the dueling presidents of SAG and AFTRA. It's the first time that the two leaders have even spoken since March 29th. The two actors' unions have been at odds for years over various issues, but they've always managed to negotiate with producers together. This time around, though, and for the first time in 27 years, rancorous infighting ended in separate negotiations. AFTRA was the first to make a deal, but SAG worked hard to convince the 44,000 members in both unions to vote it down. They failed. Last night, news came down that 62% of AFTRA's members voted to approve their tentative deal. So SAG goes back to the bargaining table, seemingly without the leverage of a possible strike authorization. But there are more negotiations coming up in the months to follow. A commercials contract next year, and before that, a cable contract. But will the two unions be able to get over the injuries of the recent past? We're delighted to have the two union presidents to talk about détente. After all, talking is a place to start. Alan Rosenberg is the president of the Screen Actors Guild, and Roberta Reardon is the national president of the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. Roberta Reardon, Alan Rosenberg, welcome to The Business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Claude. Good to be here.
I want to start with statements made after the AFTRA deal. We're not here to talk about any of the contract negotiations, but I did want to pick up on one thing. Ms. Reardon called for a unity summit, even mentioned the idea of a merger of the performers' unions, and at the least, a return to joint bargaining over the upcoming commercials contract, which expires, I think, next year in September. You, in your statements regarding the AFTRA deal, Mr. Rosenberg, you haven't addressed any of that sort of talk. Why?
Well, you know, we have been consistent and adamant in our expression of our desire to negotiate all these contracts together with AFTRA. We were consistent with that request going to these basic this TV theatrical negotiation, and we think it is insane, as we have said many times in recent history, to have two sets of contracts out there covering the same performers. We are still involved in our negotiations with the AMPTP and our TV theatrical contract, which may be why I'm focused on that and not thinking about merger at the moment. But we in the leadership of the Screen Actors Guild think it would be a fine idea to get all the performers into one union. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, in the last 2 years, as Roberta and I have been talking about various ways for our two unions to work together, I've put forward a proposal numerous times that I think would lead to a possible way for us to work together. But certainly looking towards a commercial contract, and even before that, the basic cable contract, I think would serve both our members, many of whom are joint cardholders, to negotiate these contracts together. I wish we had done the same in the TV theatrical contract. I think that contract, the contract that's on the table now, is inadequate and frightening in many respects.
Well, before, like I said, we're going to leave aside the issues of the contracts here, but here's what I'm driving at. There has been so much acrimony. You had members of your union calling AFTRA a scumbag union. We had Ms. Reardon on this program a couple weeks back. We asked her, SAG is out to kill you? And her response was, yes, it feels that way. It certainly appears that way. And I guess what I'm seizing on here is, and I'd love to talk to you as just as colloquially as possible about this, is, you know, no congratulations, no olive branch, so to speak. It seems like she's offering a rapprochement, a détente. I'm out of French, by the way. That's all my French. Between your two unions. And it seems like you're, you know, I realize you're busy. You're sort of knee deep in negotiations with producers. But it does seem like there's not a desire for peace. Is there?
Well, yes, of course there is. And, you know, this is where it gets frustrating for me, because it's a matter of perspective, Claude. I don't have any desire to go back into history. Neither I nor Doug Allen have publicly made any comments disparaging the leadership of AFTRA. If you want to ask me my opinion, starting with the basic cable negotiations 2 years ago, where we were supposed to conduct those negotiations jointly, AFTRA decided not to prepare for them.
That's not true.
Well, this is
it's not true.
Thank you, Roberta. Let me finish, and then you can respond, because we have a memo from Sally Weaver, our chief negotiator in those negotiations, where she says she invited AFTRA to participate in the negotiations with us, that's an asset declined. Whether or not that's true.
So there's a disagreement here, but going forward.
Whether or not that's true, Claude, during those negotiations, which were all about residuals and basic cable, after start offering our same employers contracts, for whatever reason, they have their rationale, that gave away 10 or 15 free exhibition days that we believe undercut our contracts. And we believe actors have suffered because of that. I happen to believe that is why AFTRA at the last minute decided not to conduct these latest round of negotiations with us, because they wanted to compete with us for jurisdiction. That is what I believe has happened in basic cable. And in the last couple of years since AFTRA has been doing that, they've gone from 5% of basic cable television to almost 50% of scripted dramatic cable television. I don't believe it is us who've been out to kill AFTRA, and that's my opinion. It's a matter of perspective. I'm all for peace. I'm all for these contracts being negotiated together. I was always in favor of us negotiating this TV theatrical contract together. And as a result of our not doing that, I believe there is a contract on the table that AFTRA is now ratified that we have to deal with, which is inadequate and which will damage actors over the next 3 years.
Well, Ms. Reardon, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to that.
Well, thank you. A couple of things. First of all, the assertion that we started offering a different kind of contract a couple of years ago is inaccurate. AFTRA has consistently organized cable with an approach that includes some exhibition windows, some per-run residuals, depending on the budget of the show. We've done that since the beginning of cable. The fact that we have a larger footprint in cable, frankly, is a testament to the fact that cable entertainment is growing. 10 years ago, there were very few hour scripted dramatic shows on cable. Now there are, you know, many, many, many different shows on cable, and that's just the way the business has grown. But we've grown with it.
Roberta, I want to stop you there for one moment here, if I could, just to, not to have you have your say, but, you know, for our listeners and for anyone who's following this, the stuff can get so Byzantine so quickly.
Yeah.
And I want to give you the opportunity to say, you know, in point of fact, look, whatever happened in the past, if that's what you want to say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but here's what happened in the past, here's what's going to happen in the future, here's what we want. I just want to get it on the record from both sides that you both feel, both presidents of both guilds, feel like there is an opportunity to work together here. Now, do you feel like, in light of what's happened in the past, you can work with these guys?
I think we have shown that we can work with the Screen Actors Guild. 28 years of joint bargaining proves that. I think that the current leadership has created some problems for us. Certainly there are things we're going to have to sit down and work through. When I say that the trust was completely broken between these two unions, that's a fact. And if you have any doubt about it, simply look at the ferocity of the campaign that was mounted to defeat our contract. That's going to have some lingering effects. That being said, I have always said that being able to collaborate and coordinate within the labor movement is extremely important. Not just with SAG and AFTRA, but certainly with all of the unions and guilds that work within this industry.
Claude, I
and we're going to go to the AFL-CIO and ask for their industry cooperative committee to look into formalizing the way that we work together.
So you're basically asking for a chaperone here to
First of all, I have to take exception with what Roberta said about trust being irrevocably broken, whatever she said. Excuse me. We went through a W&W process leading into this TV theatrical negotiation, which was truly moving. It was a moving experience.
Explain that term.
We go through a six-month process called Wages and Working Conditions Caucuses, where members from across the country come together and they put their concerns on the table, and we prioritize, and we put together our proposal package. And for the last 28 years, Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA have done that together, and we did it together this year. And it was a phenomenal process. And we came out with a proposal package that we developed jointly, 50% members from AFTRA, 50% members from the Screen Actors Guild. At the end of that process, the co-chairs got a standing ovation. It was a very moving experience. We completely anticipated going into these negotiations together. 3 weeks before, I believe it was 3 weeks before negotiations were to start, Doug Allen, our executive director, Roberta Reardon, and I in San Diego, with the participation of John Sweeney and lawyers from the AFL-CIO, made what we thought was an ironclad agreement to conduct these negotiations together. And at the last minute, as I predicted, AFTRA pulled out of these negotiations. Now, what I wanted to focus on was the Wages and Working Conditions Caucuses. Members from both unions proved that we could work together. We shared our concerns. It came from our common experiences. It was a beautiful thing. And then at the last minute, the rug was pulled out from under us. And to the detriment of actors, and Roberta was quoted in Perform, Inc. in a Chicago magazine as saying, this wouldn't be good for actors in the short run. unfortunately, the short run was these negotiations, and there may be things in play that we'll have to live with for the next couple of generations, we believe. And so, that said, we can work together. We wanted to work together even while we finished our first round of negotiations. And after it was taken over, taking the reins from us to go and negotiate, we begged them to do this together.
As a casual listener here, I can't help but think this sounds sort of like the Middle East. There's just no solution. I want to ask you both.
I don't agree with that. I believe there's a solution to the Middle East, and I believe there's a solution here. I believe it takes people being reasonable and listening and putting all their cards on the table.
Well, listen, I want to ask you, one of the things that dramatically changed our relationship, to switch a sort of statecraft analogy here, that changed our relationship with the Soviet Union was the advent of the hotline between the Kremlin and the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And given all the ferocity and animosity and miscommunication and bitterness that has come out of this failure to negotiate jointly, do you think there will be a weekly phone call between the two presidents? Is there some way that, should there be?
I think that we have to explore all of our options. I must say that I have an excellent working relationship with many of the elected leaders of the Screen Actors Guild outside of Hollywood. And we have regular conversations. I would anticipate.
How about a breakfast between you two weekly?
Well, it'd be kind of hard because I'm usually in New York and Alan's usually in Los Angeles. We could have a virtual breakfast.
Well, fine.
Look, I don't want to be disingenuous here. I really want for the good of our members to work together with Roberta in any way we can. But you can't pretend that starting today that everything is healed. We still have a contract to negotiate, Claude, and we are put in a tough spot by the contract that's already on the table and been ratified.
You put us on the table before.
Let me just finish. And this may be a function of the fact that we are now. It wasn't until the second round of negotiations after had finished their negotiations that we discovered that our employers intend to make a lot of this new media work non-union. When we first went to these negotiations, we thought the conversation was going to be about what a covered performer was and how our members were going to be able to work in this new media space. It's become apparent in the last couple of weeks that some of our employers want to do a lot of this new media week with college students and a lot of it non-union. And that's a big problem. For the first time ever, our unions are giving our signatories the ability to do work, union or non-union, at their discretion.
You're listening to a rare head-to-head discussion about the future of acting between the dueling presidents of SAG and AFTRA. It's the first time that the two leaders have even spoken since March 29th. We can agree that there are differences in the two contracts, and that was actually not something we wanted to talk about today.
The reason I just brought it up, Claude, is because prospectively, if, and I hope we do, negotiate our commercials contract together and our basic cable contract together, these conversations about philosophy are crucial. And there are things that have been put in place by this TV theatrical contract which could reverberate in the commercials contract.
Well, let's talk about what informs philosophy at these two unions. And I want to address this to Roberta, and then you can certainly jump in, Alan. 44,000 of AFTRA's 70,000 members are also SAG members.
Mm-hmm. I am.
And you are as well, as far as I understand. And, Alan, I think you're also a member.
I was a member of AFTRA before I was a member of the Screen Actors.
Okay, there we go. So given that, it seems in some respects like the organizing principle doesn't make sense here. That is, AFTRA covers stuff that's on videotape, SAG covers stuff that's on film, digital is making the two distinctions blurry, if not meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it seem to make more sense to reorganize both your unions by the constituencies they serve rather than the technologies they wind up on?
Well, the problem is that we share not just jurisdiction, we share members. And people don't do just one line of work. Frankly, one of the reasons I am interested in having a summit and looking at ways that we can collaborate and perhaps really form one performers union in this country is because actors work in all different kinds of venues. It no longer makes any sense for people to be divided into smaller and smaller sections of units. They need to be together in one large union in order to protect their interests. I have friends who work with Broadway contract. They record their radio commercials for their Broadway show under an AFTRA contract. If the show is made, of course, into a film, it's done under a SAG contract. If, you know, there's overlap constantly. Why we are constantly forced to join separate unions in order to do this work makes no sense. So in the future, I think it would actually serve everyone to have one large umbrella organization that covers you if you do a radio commercial, a television commercial, a Broadway play, a tour, a new media production, you're still a covered performer in that union. That's something that I've always worked towards. I think it's really critical in the labor movement, frankly. But I think trying to play Solomon and divide the baby now really is an exercise in futility.
Well, what doesn't make sense is having joint members working the same contracts or the same employees with two different contracts out there. That's what doesn't make sense. And what also doesn't make sense is, you know, and I'm in favor of anything that creates leverage.
Wait a minute. I don't want to stop you, but are you guys actually agreeing on something?
Well, that doesn't make sense. But what also doesn't make sense, and, you know, I wish that...
No.
Well, it doesn't make sense to
me. I can't get anyone to say
well,
yes.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me, for example, that broadcasters and weather reporters voted on this last...
Let me just clarify something here for you, Alan, which you... clearly do not understand. First of all, under the Constitution of AFTRA, all members are allowed to vote on these contracts and have, you know, for the longest of time.
That's fine.
Because
I'm
they're
just
members.
Saying, I'm just saying.
However, let
me
finish, Alan.
Yes.
They are members of the union. They're entitled to vote on this contract. Furthermore, the broadcasters, which you so lively disparage, make up less than 6% of the membership of AFTRA.
First of all, I didn't blithely disparage anybody, Roberta. All I said is it doesn't make sense for somebody who doesn't work for DVD residuals to be voting on whether I get DVD residuals.
Does it make sense for somebody who doesn't work in your industry but holds a card to vote in your election?
Well, Roberta, we don't attack the lack of qualifying voting in my union Roberta, the people in my union who pay their dues and initiation fee desire to be actors, desire to work on scripted dramatic content.
As the host here, I got to step in and put the hose on the dogs
for a
moment. So let me just say this. I want to pick up on something that you mentioned, the idea of...
And I'd like to say one other thing, Claudia. If I could here just for a moment.
I want to pick up on something you mentioned, Alan, or I don't know who mentioned it, it really doesn't matter, is the idea of qualified voting. And I wonder if so much of the strife that has occurred between your two unions could be solved if only people who work on a certain issue could vote on that issue.
No.
It's a non-starter for you, Alan.
No, not a starter for you, because what you would be doing, and this is very important to me, not only in this industry, but in life. It's my orientation in life. You will be disqualifying people of color, people with disabilities, women over 40, people who don't have equal opportunities to work. You'll be disqualifying them from voting in disproportionate numbers. People are already disenfranchised in this business.
I'm not sure.
Further disenfranchised.
I'm not sure I follow you.
The Native American actor who was crying about this out in front of our office, who said, I worked 4 years ago, and I've been trying to work ever since. Are they saying they'd take my vote away from me? I'm an actor. Those are the only opportunities I've had. I mean, why? First of all, the people who pay their dues and initiation fee to the Screen Actors Guild pay for the operating costs of the union.
But it sounds like
you're...
The same thing happens for AFTRA.
We'll get to Roberta in a second here, but I just want to pursue this just one tick further with Alan. I hear you on that completely, and it, you know, my heart bleeds for the Native American who can't get work and all that, but... I mean, you know, other unions do this. The Writers Guild does this.
Writers Guild has qualified membership.
Right. And I think you were just arguing a moment ago that qualified voting serves your interests with respect to AFTRA.
When you join Screen Actors Guild and you have a desire to be an actor and you train to be an actor and you want to work these contracts and you pay your dues, your initiation fee, and you're contributing to the operating costs of this union, and you whatever you do earn, and it goes into the pension health fund, and you're probably not qualifying for pension health. When you are that person, in my opinion, when you pay your dues initiation fee, you deserve to vote. When you are in a union like AFTRA, and you have categories of members, you have broadcasters who've never desired to be an actor, who don't work these contracts, who have no stake in DVD residuals, then it makes sense to me. If you have never had a desire to be an actor, if you've never worked these contracts, then yeah, I don't think you should necessarily be voting. But in our union, we are paying for the operating costs of the union, where not everybody has equal opportunities for work. And I don't know why you don't understand that people of color and people with disabilities, people who have fewer opportunities for work, will be disadvantaged if, if, if the amount of work you do is a criteria whether to whether you'll be voting or not.
Well, it sounds like so would white folks who couldn't get work either. I guess what I'm saying
independent. Well, we have a bit about life then, Clark. We have a
Alan, respectfully, all I'm saying is you've got 120,000 members in SAG, and only but a handful of them make their living as actors. So
I believe this whole argument of qualified voting in our union came about after the agency regulations were voted down.
Well, it's a
pig in a poke, in my opinion, Claude. Mm-hmm. This union has never not ratified a contract that was recommended by its leadership. I don't know what people are afraid of. I don't know why people feel a need to be elitist. And I'll tell you this. One more thing I'll say about qualified voting. My late brother was president of Warner Brothers Pictures. And in the early 1980s, he came to me, and he was a man of the people. And he said, Alan, I'm not in favor of this, but in every negotiation you're going to hear from here on in, they're going to ask for qualified voting. They want only the so-called working actors to vote, because then they think they'll never stand up for middle-class issues. And for background performer issues. And sure enough, the first time I had lunch with Nick Counter, he said to me, you have to qualify your voting. First time I had lunch with Barry Meyer, he said, you have to qualify your voting. When the other side tells you that's a priority for them, you have to think about whether it leverages you or deleverages you. If people are afraid that people who are bitter because they're not working, and I think that is a real elitist assumption to make, but if the fear is that makes us more powerful or in negotiations, then so be it.
Well,
I believe that African-American actor I talked about wants nothing more than an audition so he can get a job. He doesn't want to take us out on a strike.
Well, I mean, I don't know that he's prevented from auditioning. It's just a question of whether or not you vote on a contract that you
didn't
work.
Well, during a strike, he wouldn't be auditioning.
We'll leave that aside for a moment. I'll give Roberta, we're short on time here. I want to give Roberta the opportunity to answer that. I mean, do you feel like the headaches, the strife, the miscommunication between your two unions would be solved if we recognize the fact that after people, a lot of them, more than half of them, have a lot more in common with SAG than they do with their own union membership, and that maybe the idea is to emigrate, and not to merge, but to simply abandon AFTRA to broadcasters and join SAG?
No. Let me explain something about my position on how you consolidate these unions. All of us, including the broadcasters and recording artists, all work for the same six employers. I sat in two national negotiations this year, the Net Code, the Network Code, and the Exhibit A Primetime TV Theatrical. I sat with essentially the same employer group in both rooms. They wear different hats, they sit in different chairs, but it's essentially the same owners. The broadcasters are owned by the same people. The sound recordings artists are owned by the same people. It makes absolutely no sense at all to ghettoize any particular kind of performer in a union when they always sit at the same table with the same employers. Power is about power. It's about growing the base, not about shrinking the base.
I couldn't disagree more. What does, and I'm not disparaging anybody, Roberta, but what does a broadcaster care about whether we have two or three more stand-ins on movies with two or three more background performers with stand-ins excluded from the count? What do they care about my DVD residuals? What do they care about whether we get residuals for stunt performers in television? What is their stake in that?
You're listening to a rare head-to-head discussion about the future of acting between the dueling presidents of SAG and AFTRA. It's the first time that the two leaders have even spoken since March 29th. Well, look, I want to point out here, by the way, in a rare moment where Alan and I might agree on something here, it might seem that way anyway, that it's true. I mean, I'm a reporter. I work in a building at Advertising Age. I also work in the same building with janitors who are good enough to empty our waste and keep our lunchroom from getting any fouler than it already is. And we all work for the same company, so to speak, except I have very little in common with them, and they have little in common with me when it comes to compensation and the kinds of job issues I have. So it seems to me, though, that you guys are in sort of disagreement on this. We're going to have to leave that there for now. I do want to move on to ask you something about I think really the commercials contract is the next big hurdle for you guys.
Well, and it's actually up this fall.
Basic cable. Basic cable comes
first.
Let me correct something here. Screen Actors Guild has one basic cable contract that they intend to negotiate with a group of employers. AFTRA does not. We have individually negotiated contracts. It's a show by show. We have no basic cable standalone agreement.
Well, listen, although we really haven't discussed that.
Basic cable
is part of the phase one agreement.
Fine. Well, listen, guys, I want to keep this as understandable as possible for our listenership here. So let me just jump in and say this. What matters to both unions on a commercial contract, I want to know. So first of all, what unites you on a commercials contract?
Well, what unites us is going back to what I was talking about, power. If we are able to trust each other and respect each other, we should be able to sit together as a group of performers and bargain with our employers. And, you know, there are a lot of reasons to recommend a joint bargaining process for the commercials contract. That's where I make most of my living, is the commercials contract, and have done for a long time.
I make most of my living the TV theatrical contract. It would have been a good thing if we had done this together, too, Roberta.
Well, you know, you had a hand in that.
No, we did not.
Yes, you did.
Well, Roberta, let's talk about whether we had an agreement in San Diego, and let's talk about that. Because regardless of our history and regardless of whatever acrimony exists, it would have been great for members to negotiate this contract together. Whether I had a hand in it or not, Roberta, the members, I believe, have been screwed by it, and we shouldn't make the same mistake in a commercial contract.
You guys are going to have to sort this out on your own time here. On our show, our clock is ticking down, and there's just one more thing I'd love to get in here. We talk about the commercials contract as something you both seem to agree is something that needs to be negotiated jointly. Are there any issues that are specific to AFTRA or specific to SAG that would divide you and make it impossible for you guys to negotiate jointly, other than the sordid past that we need not revisit at this moment?
Well, first of all, I want to repeat, it's not the sordid past, Claude. It's philosophies going forward.
Okay, maybe so.
And I don't see anything specific to either union that would prevent us getting together. What we need to discuss is what that has been set in place by the contracts that are already ratified that are going to be problematic in the commercials negotiations, because there are things that I'm worried about, and I don't want to get into that because that's all confidential stuff.
Let me just say that for AFTRA going forward, I'm going to have a consultation with the national board and the local presidents around the country and talk with them frankly about how they feel about joint bargaining, what obstacles they see in the way. I have to say that an expensive, ferocious campaign to attack the AFTRA contract makes it much harder for us to sit down together. We're going to have to figure out how we work around that. You know, this is an unconscionable attack on another union's internal process.
Well, it was unconscionable. What was unconscionable is promising that we would do this negotiation together and then pulling out.
The trust
but however, also, Claude, I want to point something out. Roberta says something, I'd like to respond. Over the last 3 years...
Well, I came to you first.
Earnings under this contract... Our earnings under this contract for AFTRA were $43 million as opposed to $4 billion for the Screen Actors Guild. It made no point for the union that had the minority stake to be going in and setting a template that we'd all have to live by.
Alan,
the same thing is true in commercials.
Earlier.
The same thing is true in commercials, Claude. I mean, you know, let's talk about what's true.
Well, let's talk about that, Alan. I want to address that on the commercials contract right now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the bad blood, and let's acknowledge there is some bad blood between these two unions, mm-hmm. that the bad blood stems from the fact that some animals are more equal than others, and that SAG, because so much is earned by SAG members, should have more control over the bargaining process going forward, even on the commercials contract?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Claude. I always felt that it made no sense for AFTRA to have a 50% stake in these negotiations. However, at the end of the day, for the good of the members, we backed off of that position, so we go back into a phase one arrangement, 50-50, the way it's always been.
I realize you backed off, but I'm saying...
That's a compromise that we made.
Understood.
I don't want to speak for our committee.
Going forward, your opinion is, do you think that it is fair that there be an equal number of members of AFTRA and SAG on the commercials contract?
What's fair, what's not fair is different than what will be or not be.
I'm not asking you what will be or not be. I'm asking you, do you think it's fair to do it equally?
I don't want to say something that'll get me in trouble with Roberta. You know, I'm serious. You're asking me what's fair. What's fair to me is to do these things proportionately. That's what's fair. That's not necessarily what's possible.
Hmm. And jointly does not mean equally. It means proportionately in your eyes.
Well, jointly doesn't mean necessarily 50-50, does it?
Roberta, let me ask
by
you.
Definition, but however, I want to be.
Do I get to answer here?
We got to wrap this up here, so I'm going to give Roberta a chance to respond, and then we're going to step out on one other question. So, Roberta, do you think that it is possible to negotiate a commercials contract jointly, but not equally?
No. I mean, if we're going to do this jointly, we're going to do it under a phase one agreement, which would be 50-50. The only other way to do it is if we could agree to collaborate and sit side by side at the table, but ultimately have our own processes and not do it in a full joint manner. But we're not going to go in and have a minority status on what is essentially our contract.
Well, I haven't
we have
proposed
two
that.
Separate contracts, and we have to have two separate equal committees in order to do it, who meet together as one committee, and at any other way, we'll just be doing it separately.
You asked me what was fair, Claude. I wasn't making a proposal.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to act like Jimmy Carter for just a moment here and ask you to commit. Can you guys agree to have lunch together and work some of this stuff out face-to-face?
I'm open to lunch.
I'll
Alan?
Have lunch with Roberta anytime.
I like the plank salmon at Ago. I recommend it.
Sounds good
it.
To me. I ate there the other night. It's fabulous.
Alan?
Anytime.
All right. Then we've got it. I feel like Carter. Menachem?
Perhaps you'll have to join us.
Remember this, Claude.
Well, I keep kosher.
The Middle East is solvable, just as are these problems solvable.
All right. Well, in that case, we'll eat it milk and honey. Guys,
great.
I want to thank both my guests. Roberta Reardon is national president for AFTRA. Alan Rosenberg is, of course, the president of Screen Actors Guild. They joined us by phone at our studio here in Santa Monica. Alan, Roberta, thanks for being on The Business.
Thanks very much, Claude.
Thank you, Claude.
And may peace reign.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And that's The Business. Today's special edition of The Business was produced and edited by Matt Holtzman. The Business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. We'll see you next time on The Business.